son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Now, I want to preach to you on this story here for a few minutes tonight. And this is your classic story of a young person coming up and rebelling against their parents' authority, running away from home, getting in trouble, and then winding coming back home and getting right with mom and daddy. This illustrates a Christian who can get away from God and get out of God's will, who goes out and makes a mess out of their life, but can come back and receive forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teenagers hadn't changed. Human nature hadn't changed. Even though this was thousands of years ago, human nature is the same then as it was now. Matter of fact, teenagers still grow up, move out, get married, although not always in that order nowadays. Sometimes they get married, then grow up, then move out. But it's all they've always done that, and they still do. These teenagers nowadays are pitiful because they've had everything handed to them, and a lot of them don't know what work really is, and it's really hurt us in this generation of young people. You can't even tell a young teenage boy nowadays his hair looks like a mop. He'd never seen one. He has no idea what you're talking about. One girl got married. She said, "Mom, somebody played a dirty joke on me." She said, "What's that?" Said, "Well, they sent me this stupid looking stick with straws sticking out the end of it." She said, "That's a broom, ignorant." And she said, "Well, they didn't even send the cord with it." And that's the way this generation of young people is. I have no idea, out of touch with reality. But here in this story tonight, I want to show you, divide this up into several parts tonight, and I want to look first. And I want all you young people to listen, and everybody here that's saved, listen, and you hear me out. First, we see a selfish demand. A selfish demand. When a person starts thinking of herself, that's when you get in trouble. It was a selfish demand. Now, I don't know about you, but I imagine these people living on the Ponderosa. Every time I read this story, if I preach on it, I picture it just like there's this great big log house up on top of this hill, and there's pine trees all around it, you know, and everything, and there's rock, got a rock fireplace, and the daddy, it doesn't say there's a wife here, we assume there was, but if they wasn't, hot scene was there, I guarantee it. And they were sitting here in this great big house, and they had a fireplace, had rock like that, you know, stuck out, and they didn't have much, but they had plenty to eat, and they had farms, and these two boys here had to work out in the fields, and boy, I'll tell you, they're like Brother Ed McAbee said. Brother Ed said, he said, all these kids nowadays want the car to go to town, want the car. He said, when I was growing up, he said, our daddy had us out of bed before daylight. And he said, we was out in the field with a hoe waiting on the sun to come up, or is that where it get dark? He said, we hoed the row all day long. The rows were so long, you had to eat dinner when you got done, went into one of them. There and back, eat dinner, come back, done another one. And he said, we come in at dark, about 8:30 or 9 that night. And then he said, time we cleaned up meat, supper, daddy'd say, here, you boys want to go to town? They didn't even want the car keys. They didn't want to do nothing but go to bed. And that's what's wrong with our kids nowadays. Too much free time on their hands, too much leisure, too much money without coming in. That's what gets you in trouble. What got Sodom in trouble in the Bible was fullness of bread, a bunch of wealth, and abundance of idleness with nothing to do. Stay busy. Stay out of trouble. Stay busy for God. Keep you out of trouble. Well, they'd sit there, you know, at night, and Paul, he'd build a fire, hot scene one, and boy, they'd sit there, and they'd sit around, and Paul, he'd read the Bible, and another would read this, another would read that, and they'd sit around, you know, and they'd play checkers or something, and they'd sit there and flip marbles or something like that, and the boys get down and say, well, I believe I'll turn in. Well, this younger boy, I don't know how he got it, maybe a passing salesman come through or something, and he left him a stack of magazines. And this stack of magazines, he before his daddy saw him, he took them up in his room. There wasn't no TV back in those days. And boy, that younger son, he got out there. And one night, he reached up under his bed like this and pulled out one of them magazines. And he started flipping through it. And that thing started showing how pretty it was out there in the big city. And it showed these lights. And it showed these big fancy rides and things they had. It showed these camels. He just had a little donkey. It showed the kids in the big city rode camels. And buddy, I mean, them things was bad. They had all kinds of different wheels on them things. I mean, looked like spokes this way. And there was chrome and Keystone mags and craggers and all kinds of them things. They come out with, and there was chrome, BBS and ABS and all kinds of wheels putting on them camels on their hooves. And boy, he said, that is something. That is something. And he turned the page, and he turned the page on that magazine while Dad and Hopsine was in there. They was all gone to bed. He lit him a candle and turned the page on that. I don't guess he had his head covered up, had that candle lit. He kind of had something over the door so his daddy couldn't see, had a light on, and he looked in there, and there was this girl, and she was standing there beside one of them camels, and she was scantily clad. And buddy, she had on what they call a bikini. And buddy, I mean, just a little old top and a little old, littler bottom, littler than underwear. And she just stood there. And she stood there and winked at him like that and had her hand on a camel. And boy, the devil got in him and said, that's what would be nice. Wouldn't you like to lead your life like that? And boy, he kept turning the pages and reading about this and reading about these races and reading about these parties and reading about these bars. And then he had old Jerry Garcia in there, and he had all these Greenpeace people from out in PG, and they had their pictures out there, you know, and they said, we're going to be cool. We're going to let the hair grow out on our legs, the women, and we're never going to wash our hair, and we're going to hug trees and love flowers. Oh, we're just going to be smooth and smoke pot, and we're going to live it up, and we're going to be cool. We're going to be this or that. And he said, I'd like to go there. I would like to go there. So we see he had a selfish demand. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, like many young people today, he wanted what he had coming. He had an itch for the instantaneous. Somebody said the great folly of sinners is that they are content to have their portion now. He got tired of doing what Daddy said. He got tired of taking rules, having to be in at a certain time of night, having to do this, couldn't go here, couldn't go there, couldn't watch this, couldn't listen to that. He got tired. That old traveling salesman let him buy a little old Sony Walkman. And he took that Sony Walkman and he turned it on, and he went, boom, boom, pop, 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 boom. And buddy, he didn't have a lick of sanitizer about 5 minutes of that. I mean, he is out of his mind. And by the time you put that stuff in your head and look at the scantily clad female and look at the camel and see the pot smoke going up, your mind's already twisted. You done got it all backwards in your head, kid. And buddy, that world started looking good to him. And you know what he done? He went to his daddy. And he went to his daddy and he said, Daddy, I don't really know how to say this, but I got a request. And his daddy said, what's that? He said, let's just be honest. You're not going to live forever. You're going to die one of these days. And you've already told me and Adam that we's going to get Paul Hoss. He's gone off somewhere. He don't get nothing. But I'm little Joe, and you done told us that we're going to get it all one of these days. And he said, I don't want to wait till you die. Good night. I might die before you die. I want mine now. Now, the biggest mess you ever get in your life, kids, is when you start saying, I want it now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. You ever notice kids nowadays don't want to wait for nothing? The day they turn 16, they want a new car. When they get married, they got to have a new house. They start out with more than their mom and daddy had after 30 years of marriage. Most kids start out nowadays with more than their mom and daddy dies with. As far as a place to live. Well, he said, I want mine now. And the daddy said, now, son, I don't know. He said, I'm not going to refuse you. But he said, it don't matter. You can give Adam more. Give him more. Give him more than me. I just want mine right now. He had a selfish demand. And the daddy says, well, I think you're making a mistake. But I tell you, I'm not. You boys, I mean, you're a little young. And that's where this modern generation of young people is. They can't even straighten out their hair. They're not going to straighten out the world's problems. These girls, boys... these girls can make up their hair face a lot easier than they can their mind. They're not gonna straighten out the world. They're not gonna do it. They're
And so he went out and he took, and we see secondly tonight, we see a wayward journey. See, not many days after. The Bible said not many days after. Did you hear that? The Bible said not many days after. The Holy Ghost put that in the Bible. Not many days after. That means if you sit around and think about it, sooner or later you're going to wind up in it. That's what sin does. Starts in the mind. First thing you know, you think about drinking, think about drinking, think about drinking. If you don't get it out of your mind, you're going to drink. You think about stealing, think about stealing. He said not many days after. He sat around and thought about that. The more he looked at that, the better it looked. The more tempting it looked. And buddy, he took a wayward journey. He went down to the bank. I mean, he cashed in his stocks and bonds, and he got everything that he said no. But it never occurs to a 16-year-old that one day he'll be as dumb as his dad. He don't realize how smart his dad's going to get real quick. And buddy, I'll tell you what that old boy did. He went down and got all of his money. And I mean, he thought he was rich. Now I'll tell you something, kids. When y'all get a little money, you think it's a lot of money. And the reason you think it's a lot of money is because you ain't never had none. And also, you ain't never had to pay for everything. It takes a lot of money to make it. You remember, kids? Some kids said, good night, I can't. When you have to buy your own gas and your own tag and your own insurance, I'm telling you, that insurance will kill you. I think they're... Oh, we got insurance men in here. I don't think it's right that they're hooked up with a law where if you get a ticket, it goes on your insurance. Something's crooked about that. And I have no old wrong motive for saying that. I'm saying it's crooked. What's that got to do with it? Man, make a mistake. Don't mean you're a bad driver. You ought to get the people that's drunk and give them all the tickets. That'd take care of it and not let 16-year-olds get their license. Y'all didn't like that, but it's true. I see these kids in these driver's ed car. I think, oh, Lord, get me out of the way. You know, I thought I was big when I was 16. Well, you see them nowadays, they look like they're little bitty babies out there driving, don't they? But anyway, that's what he done. He went down there and he got all that money. He thought, Lord, I'm loaded now. I'll never spend all this. I got more money to do me from now on. And that old boy, he went down there. First thing he done, I'll guarantee it. What's the first thing he done? He went straight to that Camelot. I mean, he went straight there. He didn't even think. He made a beeline for that place. And he went down there and they had them all them camels lined up out front. They had balloons and they had them little streamers coming out like that. And they said, B&B camels, come on in. Big deal today. $300 rebate. All this stuff. Buy one today. He said, I want to see you brand new models. They said, son, you ain't got... He said, I want to see you brand new. Look at that. And they said, yes, sir. They brought him over here. He said, I want that. Oh, let's see here. He went down through there. He said, I want to see the stereo. He picked him one out. I'm telling you what, that thing, it had everything you can imagine. It had 6 speakers, tweeters, woofers. It had an amplifier, had an equalizer. I mean, boy, he said, I want to buy me some biggins and hang on the back end of it. Big old speakers where they can hear me a long time before they see me. And he said, I want to hang them over there. He said, I'll tell you what I want to do. He said, he got in some of them neon lights and put it underneath that camel's belly and right around like that so that when he went down the road, it was shining on the ground. That is so bad. That is so bad. I just can't imagine being that bad, having neon light underneath a camel's belly and going up through there. He put some stripes on that camel and he is drunk and he couldn't put them in the middle, so he put them on the side of it, going over like that because he's colorblind, cross-eyed and everything else. And boy, he fixed that thing up and he hung him up a little bandana on the rear view mirror, which means I'll smoke pot. That's what that means. When you hang up something on the rear view mirror, that means I'll party. And he put that on there and he put that there and got him a CD changer, changed about 10 CDs. And boy, when he put his brakes on, those come up in the tail lights and he had air conditioning. He could turn it on high, medium, low. That fan, that tail go around, round, round and fan him. And he was tough. He put armor all on them hooves. Shining them up. Oh, Lord, it was pitiful. He put incense on that thing, sprayed it around there, shined that baby up, and he got on it, and here he went. Got him some sunglasses. can't find none. And buddy, here he went through town. And he got some attention. Can I tell you boys something? If you have to get a car to get a girl, you know what that means about you? You ain't got much. Look at Todd. Look at that piece of junk he drives. Now listen, you'll never hear me brag on him again. You better listen. I appreciate him doing that. I admire a young man that'll drive a piece of junk. And you say, he ain't got no girl. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. I'm just letting him think that. But I appreciate if a boy thinks, I've got to get a car to get a girl. There's a boy down at Nebo many years ago, and he got a Corvette, and that was the first Corvette I ever remember seeing around Marion. They might have been another, but that's the first one I remember. And son, he had more girlfriends, and that boy was so ugly. His face, it looked like, I don't know, there's something wrong with his face. It wasn't smooth at all, man. It was like, I don't know what. I mean, it was real bad. And I mean, he's ugly the rest of him, too. And I'm telling you what, he got girlfriends, just like that. And he wrecked that car one night. My sister was with him, matter of fact. And they totaled that thing down here, right down here at Badcock Furniture down there, and flipped that thing totally, busted it all to pieces. And I don't reckon that fella ever got another girlfriend after that. You know why? And that's what this boy did. He thought, if I get me this camel, I'll get me a girl. If you got any kind of charm at all, man, surely to the Lord you can get one without having to buy or with a car. You think, well, I'll put me some sunglasses on and drive fast around Hardee's, they'll like me. But you got to remember, they're going to see you out of that thing sooner or later. You can't stay in there and hide forever, man. You got to come out, and they'll see you. So that's what he did. He went downtown. He come into the big city, left daddy behind. He saw the Ponderosa goodbye, good riddance. I'm sick and tired of sheep and cows and horses and junk like that all the time. Hot fiends cook old biscuits and gravy. I want Taco Bell. I tell you, I want to go to Pizza Hut. I want to go to Applebee's and Chili's and Ruby Tuesday's. I want to go to all these Outback. I'm sick of old home cooking. I want to go here. And he went down there and he went into town. And boy, the girls come out. Wow, did you see the new guy? Is he cute? Is he cute? That's how stupid girls always talk. You know how you know you're stupid? When you say, is he cute? Is he cute? That's how you know you're stupid. See, in a few years, it won't be, is he cute? It'll be, will he work? Will he work? Amen. Tell them that, ladies. Tell them that. If you're married to that old dude for a few years, you won't even notice what he looks like. The main thing in is, will he pay the bills? Is he cute? Oh, I don't know. He sure is cute. See that car? I mean, camel? Did you see it? And they said, yes, sir, that's a 98, isn't it? And they said, yeah, they just came out. And they said, look at him. Oh, look at him. Woo, 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 coo, coo, kitty. Talk about the boy from Ponderosa. And here he is. Look at him. Woo. Look at him. Oh, yes. And he is cute with his spinning lute. Ooh, wah, coo. Get him over here. The boy from Bonanza. Here he is. Let's get him in there. They got him in there. They put him up to the bar. They said, and he went in there and said, what's happening, folks? What's happening? And they said, where are you from? He said, I'm from way, way, way off. Big city, way off somewhere. Big city. My dad's a rich man. I'm just checking this little rinky-dink town out. I'll see if I might want to live here. And they said, he's bad. He's bad. Look at all that. He got his Marilyn Manson CDs stuck in his camel stereo system out there. And boy, he's even got some Enigma and some New Age movement and reggae. And he's got the blues, you know, and he's got old George, and he's got old Barf Brooks, and he's got a bunch of them out there. Oh, he's bad, I tell you. This boy's got it together. He rented him a big, nice apartment. I mean, he had a view out there of the water, and I mean, he could see everything, and he was playing a lot of, he had through parties. He bought drinks. He lived it up and wouldn't work. And the Bible said he wasted his substance with riotous living. Well, that went pretty good for a while. He had his girlfriends and plenty of fun, big parties. But then we see
Bible said in Ecclesiastes 9:18, one sinner destroys much good. Number four. Three, we see a miserable condition. You see, waste brings want. And by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Bible said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He wound up being a servant. Now guess what happened? One morning he got up. He had a headache. He's partying too much last night. He said, golly, man. I'm going to have to lighten up on some of this dope, man. I'm about to die. About 11:30, he come out like that. The sun is out. He said, oh, get me some medicine. He got to looking around. Look, somebody send me this. He didn't have no money. So I better hop on a camel and go down there and get in the bank. Make a withdrawal. He got on his camel, drove down there, hopped out the bank, and said, told the lady there at the bank, he said, I need $500. Get me through the next couple of days. She come back and said, I'm sorry, little Joe. Your account is empty. He said, go back and check it again, ma'am. It couldn't be empty. I'm the richest guy around here. She said, I'm sorry, sir. I've rechecked it. Our computers, we just had these things installed, and they all work perfect, and you ain't got no money. And that's what you don't realize, kids. You can go through that stuff real quick. Ain't that right? Some of you, I knew some boys one time left here from Marion, and they went to California because Marion was such a boring place to live. And they thought they'd go to California where they grow it good, you know, and the grass is greener and all that. Some of them boys went out there and they couldn't even afford an apartment on the other side of the beach in Los Angeles. And when they ate potted meat and crackers and stuff for about 2 weeks, like they died. We wound up back here in Marion thanking God for his bag. It ain't. You know where the grass is greener? Right over top of the septic tank. Don't ever forget that. You know what? That old boy got down there and he wound up broke. I ain't believing this. Some of them dogs must have come and got my money and I didn't know it. And he'd went down there high on drugs and spent all his money and didn't even realize it. And he's out of money. And you can get out of money real quick like that. At wild living, there's a high price for it. There's a high cost for low living. Listen, that's nothing. People get hooked on cocaine to spend $1,000 a day on their cocaine habit. $2,000 and $3,000 a week. Nothing. There's a high price for sin. Monetarily, physically, spiritually, every way you can think of. You know what? Son, that old boy hit rock bottom. He wound up with nothing. He called up his girlfriend and said, hey, honey, listen, I'm up against it. I'm in a tight place, and I hate, but I need to borrow a little till this weekend. She said, I ain't got no money. You always pay for it when we go out. And he says, well, if I can get some, I'll see you Friday night. We'll go out one. She said, I think I have other plans. And then he had to sell his camel. And he bought him a little pinto. He bought him little bitty donkeys or something. He could touch the ground while he's riding that thing. Like that. And he had to help it out a little bit up the hills and stuff. Like a moped, that's what he got. Got him a moped. And you know what? I should have thought all this before I left the house. I could have told you some good stuff. But you know what? He took that little moped out. Then they started looking at him like, they wouldn't even go nowhere with him in. You know that feeling, don't you? Isn't it funny how when you get that car, get them license, and get that money, you got all kinds of friends. But when you're down and out, you wind up in the hospital, you know who's going to come see you? Preacher and people from church and stuff like that. Them wild friends, they wouldn't care if you lived or died. You know why? Because they're not really your friends. They're just using you. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, he lost it all. Woke up one day and said, I'm in a mess. That potted meat got old after a while. I heard about a fellow who was on some angel dust, a drug, and he got his head all messed up and he killed his mama, killed her, and didn't realize what he'd done. Woke up in jail, and he didn't even know why he's in jail. And they said, you're in here for murder, man. He said, I didn't kill nobody. They said, you killed your mother. He was in jail for killing his mother. So we see a miserable condition. Next, we see a wise decision, quickly. Verse 18 said, the Bible said he came to himself. He went. He said, I'm going to go get me a job. He stood in line down to unemployment building and nobody wouldn't give him a job. He went to Walmart. I mean, he went to Cotton Mill. He went up to Baxter, went down to Southern Divorces, went down to, he tried all these places. I mean, he tried to get on at this place and Dana and everywhere else, man. And he tried to go to Big Daddy's and Galaxy and Ingles and everywhere, and he couldn't get a job. Till a fella said, I got some old pigs out here. And if you'll feed them pigs, we'll give you enough to eat off of. And he got so hungry, he was going to eat corn husk. That is hungry. The Bible said, he's sitting out there one day, pig slop all over him, sweaty, nasty, ain't had a shower, had nothing to eat, pigs grunting around all over him, and just like, bam, a light came on in his head. And he said, bing, you know, he just woke up. You know what the Bible says? The Bible said he came to himself. He came to himself. Listen, you know what? That's what a lot of people need. Something just needs to just smack you upside the head. You need to say, whoa. What am I doing? He's in the hog pen. He said, my daddy has got people at work for him that's better off than I am. They're hired servants. They sleep in a nice warm bed. They got three meals a day. They're just servants. And they're up there living it up. And I'm out here about to die of starvation. I can't even get nothing decent to eat. I can't buy a hamburger. I can't go to McDonald's. I can't have nothing. And the Bible says he made a wise decision. He was temporarily insane. He's like David in Psalm 119. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Sometimes it takes God afflicting us to put you back in line where you ought to be. See, David was out of line and then God afflicted him, buddy. And he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I count thy word. Well, God knows how to afflict you, friend. He'll put you in misery to get you back on the right track. And son, that old boy, he looked up and he said, whew, I know what I'm going to do. Buddy, one day he's sitting in there and he got to thinking about Daddy. He said, man, they're sitting up there around that good warm fire right now. Man, eating beef and taters, hop seen biscuits or Chinese food or whatever he fixed. Might have been egg rolls or something. Oh, man, I'd sure like to have one of Hopsine's biscuits. I never thought I'd say that. I miss it. Boy, he's getting ready to get ripe and you start thinking like that. He stood up and said, bless God, I know what I'm going to do. I'll rise and go to my father. And I'm going to tell him, Father, I sinned and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just put me out there in the barn. Let me live with the servants. Make me as your hired servants. He said, I'm a going, I'm a leaving. But he got up and left the hog pen. Hey, listen, young people. He didn't call home and say, Dad, will you take me back? If you'll take me back, I'll leave a hog pen. That ain't what he said. He said, I'm getting out of this mess. Whether Daddy takes me or not, I'm out of here. I'm leaving this mess. That's repentance. That's repentance. You don't bargain with God and say, God, if you'll do this or do that, I'll get right. God, you're not going to impress God with nothing you've got to offer Him. What you've got to do is say, God, I will leave my sin. I will come to you. And God, if you'll have me, here I am. If you won't, I'll just die out here in the desert somewhere. And son, he took off on his journey, walking. That little pinto, he had to sell that thing and to get out of town, get him enough food, walk. And he took off a walking like this, hog slop all over him, hair matted together, and he took off up the road. And all the way home, he could just think of how good it was. He said, to heck with you people. And some of them laughed. Some of his friends come by on their camels and just, he was hitchhiking. They wouldn't even pick him up. And they was partying. They was in the back end of trucks and stuff. Laughed at him when they went by. Hey, man, you're the guy that used to have all the dope, money and everything. Tough luck, man. Man, we're going to party. And he'd see them off over their life and he said, them people use me. He took all my money. And that's what this world will do to you, friend. It will use you. It'll abuse you. And when it gets through with you, it'll throw you off on the side of the road somewhere. And your life's ruined and gone. And I'm telling you what that boy says. I'm going to God. He learned his lesson. And son, about halfway up through that,
He met this real nice salesman coming up through down through there, and he'd come down the hill and had a suit on, and he'd come up through there, and boy, I'll tell you what, that old boy, he met him, and the salesman said, how are you, sir? And he said, I'm fine. He said, is the old man home up on the hill up there? He said, he sure is. He said, where are you going? He said, I'm going up there. And that salesman, all dressed nice and everything on his camel, said, well, you can't go up there looking like that. That's the Ponderosa. I mean, that's a nice house. And these people have got rich and got a lot and everything. You look like a slob, man. And but I ain't got nothing to offer. He said, this is the best I've got. He said, I'm just going to go just as I am. He said, it's just like this. He said, if he won't have me, he won't have me. I simply have nothing in my hands to bring. I can't offer him nothing. And we see finally this evening a gracious reception. The Father's love and forgiveness. You see, Dad was sitting out on the porch that day. And boy, Dad was sitting out there. I don't know what he's thinking about. He might have been just out there thinking, I wonder where he's at. I wonder whatever happened to my boy. I sure do miss him. Way off that shining distance, he saw a figure coming through. You'd see sun all around him. And he looked and he thought, I wonder who that is. And the closer he got, he began to recognize that walk. And that old boy kept walking up that hill, coming across that field. And Daddy looked up and he said, I tell you, he looked kind of old and beat up and everything, but is that my boy? Is that my boy? See, that old boy did not even know if that daddy would have him. He was just going to work in the barn. He was just going to be a hired servant. But here he went towards the Father. Towards the Father. And buddy, he made that long walk. I remember making that walk one night. I remember walking down that aisle at Nebo Baptist Church. And I stepped out. And I said, I'm going to you, God. I tell you, that was the greatest walk I ever made in my life. And I'm glad the Father received him. When he was a great way off, the Father saw him. Now listen. He ran. Can't you see that old man getting up off the front porch? Looking down like that and seeing him way off down there? Starting running like that. Boy, wouldn't that have been something? Reminds me of that story I heard, and I'll tell you this and I'm through. It said this boy rebelled against his parents many, many years ago. Went out to Texas somewhere and lived like a devil. He got in a fight with his daddy before he left, and I think he hit him. And he went out there and lost everything he's had, living, drinking, going to bars and clubs and junk like that. Somehow or another, God got a hold of his heart and he got saved. And he was on a train coming back home east. And he's sitting there crying on the train. And there's a preacher there on the train. He leaned over and he said, son, can I help you? I'm a preacher. And he said, preacher. And he told him his story. How he hit his daddy, how he run off, how he wasted his life, and then how he got saved and he was going back home to his daddy. And the preacher said, why are you crying, son? He said, I don't know if Daddy will let me come back home. He said, I wouldn't blame him a bit if he didn't even let me in the house the way I treated him. And he said, I sent Mom and Dad a letter. And he said, on that letter, I said, dear Mom and Dad, I'm sorry for the way I've treated you. And he said, I've done you wrong. And I'm asking you to forgive me. And he said, dear Mom and Dad, I'm beyond such and such a train at such and such a time. And he said, Mom, he said, there's an old apple tree out there in the yard. And he said, if you'll forgive me and let me come back home. He said, I want you to take a white rag and just tie it in the limb of that apple tree. And he said, when the train stops, I'll get off and I'll know you forgive me. But he said, Mom, if you won't, Daddy, if you won't forgive me, just don't let there be no rag out there and I'll just keep on going. And I'll go to the next town and try to make it somewhere else. And he said, preacher, it's just right up around the curve here where I live. And I can't look. And the preacher patted him on the knee and said, that's all right, son. He said, I'll look for you. He said, I'll watch for you. And that old train come around that last bend. He said, preacher, I can't look. And the preacher looked out there and looked out there. And boy, what a sight he saw. And he punched him on the knee and said, look, son, don't you look yonder. And he peeped out the side of that there. And sure enough, there was an old apple tree out there. Right beside it was an old gray-haired mom and dad. Standing there waving at the train coming in like this. White hair waving like this. And he said there was white rags tied all over that old apple tree. And there was Mom and Dad waving like that. He said, son, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You ain't got nothing to worry about. Mom and Dad forgive you. It's over. It's forgotten. You can be right with them. And that's what can happen to you tonight. God stands here waving tonight with the rags tied all over the old apple tree, saying, all you got to do is come. And He'll forgive you.
When that boy saw his daddy and the daddy saw his boy, somebody said, none are so near heaven as those who are convinced of sin. None are so near hell as those that quench that conviction. Nobody's closer to heaven than the man that really realizes how wicked his sin is. And nobody's closer to hell than the person that quenches that conviction. Son, he grabbed him and said, son, I missed you. And he hugged him like that and put a big ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And they killed a cow and had steak. And they wound up having a great big party for the prodigal son. Come home. Let's stand with our heads bowed. One every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm asking you tonight. I'm asking you tonight one question before we pray tonight. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Is there one person in here tonight that say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. If I died tonight, I'm afraid I'd go to hell. And I do want this church to pray for me tonight. I don't want to die without God. I want to die right with God. Christians, you pray. Is there one here tonight? Say, preacher, please pray for me. I don't want to die without God. Up in the balcony, anywhere, just slip up your hand. Take it right back down. Anywhere, raise your hand. Heads are bowed. Christians are praying. Anywhere, just hold your hand up high where I can see it. God bless you. I see that hand. Is there another? Is there another? Is there one here tonight? Say, preacher, I know I've been saved. But I'm like the guy you was preaching about. I've got out of God's will. I've really messed up. And I know I need to get back and get in fellowship with the Father. It's been a long time since I've been right with God. And I want you to pray for me tonight. Anywhere in the building. Hands raised. All right. God bless you. God bless you, young man. Anyone else? No one's looking? Anywhere else in the building? Just raise your hand. Say, preacher, pray for me. All right. Everybody in here tonight, one more question. Then we're going to sing. Everybody in here tonight that says, I know that I'm saved. I know if I died tonight on my way home, I know for a fact I'd go to heaven because I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I know I'd go to heaven. Will you raise your hand, please? If you know you'd go to heaven, don't lie. You're in church. All right, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. There's some hands here tonight that couldn't go up. No doubt I couldn't see all of you. Why would you want to take a chance like that, my friend? Somebody's praying for you. You could come down here to this altar tonight and get the absolute assurance that you're going to heaven when you die. And walk out that door tonight knowing that you're saved. Now why don't you do that tonight? We're going to pray. The kids are going to sing. And I'm asking you. Get out of your seat. Leave your seat where you're standing right now. Walk down here and get down on your knees. Somebody take the Bible. Show you how to get saved. Father, please help these that could not lift their hands. Please, please. Oh God, with Holy Ghost conviction, please. Help them. Help them. Help them to make that step. Help them. Help them to make that step before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, come on, come on, Daddy. Come on, Mom. Say it now. Y'all help them out. Amen. Somebody's praying. Sing. Angels are watching. I can't. Come on. Come on, friend. Come on right now. Come on. Amen. Come on. Come on. Yeah.
Yes. Sing. Come on. Move right now. Come on. If you raise your hand, come on. Come on. Come on. Just get out of your seat and come. Come on, young man. Young lady. Come on. Amen. That's right. Yeah. Say it now. Come on. Amen. To protect me from what I... Come on. Come on, man. Come on. Amen. Come on. Somebody's praying for me. One more time. Well, I've walked. Amen. Sure. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I pray. Amen. Somebody's praying for you tonight. Somebody's praying for you. Come on, come on right now if you need to come. Yes. You believe tonight? Come on, come on, come on.